This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Parents around the state are probably looking for some indoor activities to get kids through cabin fever and days of cold and snow. And students are maybe trying to come up with some science fair concepts. Our next guests have ideas for fun science projects for home and school.
Stephen Vols and Fritz Grobe are the self-described mad scientists at the website EpiBird. Their work went viral with a video of a Coke and Mentos geyser. Their new book is called Build Your Own Hovercraft. Air cannons, magnet motors, and 25 other amazing DIY science projects. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
And David, thanks for joining us too.
Thanks so much.
And Stephen, before we get to the how, why should we do these do-it-yourself science projects?
Oh my gosh, the why is even more important than the how.
Thought you might say that.
Basically because these are the 25 coolest things we could find to do with ordinary objects. And we searched everywhere. And so we wanted to just collect the 25 coolest things, 25 or so, that you could do, and then do them, and then understand the science after that. But first, just do them because they're really fun to do.
And David, how important is that fun factor in inspiring us to learn the science behind the experiment?
This is Fritz, actually. We found that there's nothing like fun to motivate you. I mean, when we first put our Coke and Mentos video online, we had millions of people getting excited about science. And now we find that whether you're building a hovercraft or whether you're turning steel wool into fireworks, you can do something really fun. You can go out there and get your hands dirty. And that really is the incentive to get excited about science.
Now, science is pretty hot right now. But on the other hand, I always feel, you know, as a parent right now, that if I'm going to do something, I kind of need a kit, like that just says add A to B, stir, wait 5 minutes, you'll get a bang. You guys are kind of just doing it yourself from ingredients. Is that a cooler way to go if you can do it?
We think so. This is Stephen. We liked a little bit of sort of a MacGyver twist of the stuff we get to do. So you look around your house, you look around your bedroom, your office, wherever you're sitting, and you go, hey, there's something I could use. And that seems to us to be a lot more fun than getting it all prepackaged. And it kind of helps your creative science brain work as well.
We're curious about what everyday objects can do. So, you know, how to build a hovercraft, that's using a leaf blower and some plywood. Coke and Mentos, you've got those kicking around the house. We're looking at what can you do that you've got in the garage, what can you do that you've got in the kitchen, and maybe you need a trip down to the corner store, but it's the things that are around you in everyday life that can really surprise you.
Well, Fritz, let's run with that hovercraft you just mentioned. It's the title track of your book. Give us a little more detail. How does this hovercraft come together and work?
So we show you in the book three different levels, small, medium, and large. So depending on your ambition, you can bite off what you feel like you can chew. So the simplest hovercraft is just a CD and a balloon, and it'll float on a table. But I don't know about you, but I, as a kid, always wanted to ride on a hovercraft. So with a leaf blower, a half a sheet of plywood, some plastic, you, in about an hour, you can make your very own hovercraft that you can float around the room on.
And it will support a full-grown adult. It will support me, and I'm well over 200 pounds.
How does it work? I don't know. I guess I just understand how a leaf blower contraption can support a grown human being.
Well, a hovercraft is an amazing thing. And the leaf blower pushes the air through a hole in the plywood. You have to cut a hole in the plywood. The air goes down underneath the plywood into a pillow that you make with plastic. It inflates that pillow and pushes the air out through the hole, through holes in the plastic, almost like a reverse air hockey table.
So it sort of distributes the air evenly. Is that the idea? So
exactly.
You get kind of a platform.
You fill the cushion of the plastic pillow below you, and then that cushion also has some more holes in it and pushes the air out further. So there's a cushion of air that's at the very bottom of the whole contraption. That's about, an inch or so tall. And you float on that cushion, and as the air escapes the cushion and goes out the sides of the hovercraft, more air is blown in by the leaf blower. So it continues to be full of air, and you can float on that little buoyant cushion of air.
Stephen, I got to ask, how fast does it go, and how does that baby handle?
Right now, it goes as fast as you can push it. We haven't yet put the instructions online yet or in the book for propelling it with another leaf blower, but there's certainly ways to do that.
Sounds like you're getting close to the Jetsons era kind of thing where you're speeding around. That's always been my dream.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to talk about another experiment you guys talk about. Fritz, how can we stick a needle through a balloon?
Well, we try to give you a range of things in how to build a hovercraft. That, you know, some of them are really simple. And one of my favorites is the needle through the balloon, which you think you get a needle anywhere near a balloon, it's going to pop. But it turns out that if you have a kind of like a knitting needle, a big, large needle, you can insert it into the balloon right near the knot where the latex is a little bit thicker. It's not stretched quite as thinly. And if you put some vegetable oil on the needle, you can actually get it to slide in. The latex will stretch around it rather than tearing. And then you can send it out the opposite side right at the end, the tip of the balloon, where, again, it's not stretched quite as thin. It's not inflated quite as tightly right there. And it's quite an amazing magic trick to send a needle all the way through the balloon without popping it.
And what's the principle that we learned from that?
It's all about, you know, how latex molecules work. You have these chains of latex molecules, and they're stretched quite thin where the balloon is fully inflated. But in these two key spots, they're not stretched as thinly. And with a nice sharp needle, you can get the molecules to separate without having it pop.
So is that one of those gee whiz ones that you show your kid and they go, wow?
Absolutely. The image of a big red or yellow balloon with a barbecue skewer going right through it is kind of mind-bending.
Oh, Stephen, we mentioned earlier your Coke and Mentos geyser. Can you take another step with that in this book? How did you harness the power in your mini rocket car?
Well, after we first went viral with the Coke and Mentos Bellagio show that we did, it came to us very quickly that we wanted to do some kind of propulsion. And it turned out that was harder than we thought. We first put some geysers on a skateboard and turned them sideways, and that thing went about a foot and a half at about 1 mile per day, really slowly crawled forward, because the weight of the soda is so much compared to how much energy it's got pushing out. And so much of that energy, when it shoots out of the geyser, gets dissipated into the air. And finally we realized that if we put a piston, if we could capture all the energy in a piston, just like in in your car engine, we could focus all the energy that was there and see if that would propel you. So what we've got in the book is, if you take a bottle, basically a Mentos geyser, turn it sideways, and you can, with some PVC and just a regular dowel at the hardware store, make a piston that will shoot that thing maybe 100, 150 feet down the road at a pretty good clip.
Now wait, I'm having a brainstorm here. Strap the Mentos and Coke rocket to your personal hovercraft, and there's your propulsion system.
There we go.
I like the way you think.
All right, I'm going to look for that video in a couple weeks.
Sounds like precision engineering.
Nothing like a good challenge.
Wow, that sounds great.
It's precision and duct tape is sort of the combination we work with.
Now, did I just hear you say the phrase Bellagio show?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Really?
Our very first Coke and Mentos video that's now been seen over 100 million times is our little tribute to the Bellagio fountains in Las Vegas, all done with Coke and Mentos. It's over 100 bottles of Coke, over 500 Mentos mint candies,
wow,
all choreographed geysers.
So what is it about the combination, the Mentos, you put it in the Coke, what is happening there that's shooting the geyser out?
It's a phenomenon called nucleation in action. And what's happening is, oh, you've got all of this carbon dioxide, all of this fizz inside the soda, saturated in the liquid, and it's under pressure. It's trying to escape. It will grab onto anything bumpy it can find. So you can see that when you put your finger into a cup of soda pop, you'll see bubbles forming on the ridges of your finger. Well, that's what's happening with Coke and Mentos. It's just on steroids. The reaction is turned up to 11, as we say. So the surface of a Mentos candy is literally covered with hundreds of thousands of microscopic bumps. And each of those bumps is a place for the carbon dioxide to grab onto. So you get, as the Mentos fall into the soda, you get bubbles grabbing onto the surface by the thousands, bubbles grabbing onto other bubbles. All this pressure is released, sends the soda flying 20, 30 feet into the air.
It's really a coincidence of the way they happen to make Mentos candies. We were lucky enough to go to the factory in the Netherlands a few years ago And we saw that when they make them at the very end, they spray them with this mist of liquid sugar just for coating and flavoring and making them taste good. But it turns out as that sugar hardens, it makes little tiny droplets harden to make all those bumps. So all those bumps that they create by spraying the liquid sugar on turn out to be the perfect thing for setting your soda off.
Now, you guys are, by all appearances, a couple of grown-ups. But the experiments you are doing sound so cool. It's kind of the things that kids would naturally love. Is it important that both adults and kids, you know, remember that science is really cool and it should still be fun?
I mean, we say you're never too old to be the coolest kid on the block. you know, whether you're in college, whether you're just, you know, whether you're a kid just starting to experiment with what can I do with science, whether you're a parent, whether you're just somebody who's curious about how the world works, get your hands dirty. See what you can make yourself, and get out there and build some of these projects. They're an amazing amount of fun.
Well, here's one. We flipped the book open, and Veronica said, I've always wanted to do this, the yanking the tablecloth out from all the stuff without scattering it on the floor. How can we make that work without disaster, Stephen?
There's three things you need to remember. The first is you want to use heavier plates and china. So like a vase with a nice wide bottom, actually it doesn't need to be wide bottom, but a heavy vase filled with water and some flowers. And some heavier plates will work a lot better than light plastic ones because they've got more mass pulling down towards the earth than a light paper plate or something would do. The second is use a tablecloth or a piece of cloth, probably just a piece of cloth like a handkerchief, from which you've pulled out the hem on one side. So you want that hem at the very back of the tablecloth so when you yank it, that you won't get that little bump of the tablecloth that's at the hem, so because that'll knock everything over if you don't know to take that hem out. And then the third is you want to pull slightly downward. So pull down and quickly so that the tablecloth runs down over the edge of the table, and that'll give it a really even, straight pull out from under all of your objects, and you'll be doing it in no time.
And your tablecloth should be made of satin.
That's really helpful. Nice and slippery.
All right, we're trying this, Rob.
I want to see the video when you do this at home, Veronica.
No, we're going out for lunch.
Oh, right. It's on the restaurant. Well, Stephen, Fritz, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Stephen Voltz and Fritz Grobe. They are co-authors of the new book, How to Build a Hovercraft. We've got a link to the video of the Mentos and Coke car, by the way, on the Central Time Facebook page. It really does go far and fast.
And if you decide to try your hand at any of the experiments we've talked about, send us a video. We'd love to see what you're up to.